Friends, today's broadcast is one you do not want to miss. I've got some real important insights about where we stand in the elections.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I want to do my job today as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. And I want to do my best to help ground you in truth, ground you in an emotionally healthy attitude, ground you in a right position between you and God so that you'll be able to function well in the midst of the chaos and craziness that surrounds us. Welcome to The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. We want to talk about where we stand in the current election controversy from a number of different angles. And as always, I want to bring the perspective I can uniquely bring here as your host on The Line of Fire. Not just another conservative talking head, and thank God for the ones that do a great job. Not just another preacher of the gospel, and thank God for those who do a great job there, but bringing a spiritual kingdom perspective to the news and the world around us. If you missed this Saturday night, this was part of the speech given by Joe Biden. Now, of course, he has been announced as president-elect by the media based on Pennsylvania counts and he's enough to be over in the electoral vote. He has not officially been certified. The states have not been certified. The Electoral College has not cast its official votes. So in point of fact, he is not officially president-elect, but many would say de facto, he is what we shall see. Let the duly elected president be our next president. That's my position. But I want to give you an excerpt of the speech and some of the feel of where he was coming from. Let's listen.
People of this nation have spoken. They've delivered us a clear victory, a convincing victory, a victory for we the people. And to make progress, we have to stop treating our opponents as our enemies. They are not our enemies. They are Americans. They are Americans. The Bible tells us to everything there is a season, a time to build, a time to reap, and a time to sow, and a time to heal. This is the time to heal in America. On eagle's wings, we embark on the work that God and history have called upon us to do. With full hearts and steady hands, with faith in America and in each other, with love of country, a thirst for justice, let us be the nation that we know we can be. A nation united, a nation strengthened, a nation healed. The United States of America, ladies and gentlemen, there's never, never been anything we've tried we've not been able to do. So remember, as my grandpa, our grandpa used to say when I walked out of his home when I was a kid up in Scranton, he said, "Joey, keep the faith." And our grandmother, when she was alive, she yelled, "No, Joey, spread it. Spread the faith. God love you all. May God bless America, and may God protect our troops." Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, it's interesting there that God is invoked. You say, well, how could God be invoked if the person is godless? Listen, I'd rather people are asking God for help. I'll comment on the question of time to heal. And can we, in fact, move ahead with healing now? Will it come from the political realm or must it come from the church? And is it possible to heal with so much deep division? But before I get into any of that, before I get into the question of potential election fraud, or is that just a crazy conspiracy theory? Is the President Trump exposing something evil, or has he deluded millions of people to believe whatever he says? We're going to evaluate all of that and some information I received from some folks close to the inside that I found fascinating. But I said last week, the day before the elections, that God had not spoken to me. I don't ever remember feeling that the Lord showed me who was going to win a presidential election. Over the years, God's laid things on my heart, and they've happened or led me to do certain things, and it's turned out to be the Lord. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So I believe that the Holy Spirit puts things in our heart, reveals things to us. Sometimes we just know stuff, don't even know where it comes from. We just have that sense of knowing. But I said before the election, that hasn't happened to me. So I wasn't claiming this is a prophecy or divine revelation. But this was my prediction from last Monday, the day before the elections. My prediction. I do not claim that the Lord spoke to me, showed me something, opened up a scripture, gave me special revelation. I am discounting other prophetic words and simply my own observation. I feel pretty confident that Donald Trump will win tomorrow. Why? When you look at the rallies, the numbers of people, the enthusiasm versus the small rallies, lack of enthusiasm. So the massive rallies for Trump, small, unenthusiastic for Biden, that's telling. When you see what seems to be an uptick in Hispanic and Black support of Trump, and perhaps even Jewish support for Trump, when for every one person I heard say, I voted for Trump in 2016, but I can't vote in 2020, I hear 10 or 20 saying, I didn't vote for him in 2016, and I will vote for him in 2020. And then just the radicalization of the Democratic Party, that would indicate to me the likelihood of a Trump victory. But either way, my emotions are set to worship God as God and to keep my eyes focused on eternity as I live here in this world, regardless of the outcome. And my determination is, whatever the results are, to gather as many believers as I can together to work together for the good of the nation. That's my own prediction based on these observations. Do I have a spiritual sense? I want to be honest. My spiritual sense before elections tends to be off. In other words, I've never felt that the Lord gave me a clear word. You know, one of these visitation things where you know that God spoke to you or scripture jumped out at me. It's not happened. Normally, it's kind of my emotions and what I want to see happen and so on and so forth. So bottom line, don't know. Don't have a word, don't have a revelation, but my observations would strongly indicate a Trump victory. We shall see. What's interesting is I saw at least one comment blasting me on YouTube, calling me a false prophet. A false prophet for saying God hasn't spoken to me. I'm just giving you an opinion. I could be wrong, but that's the world we live in today. But here's the key thing I want to get across. The big, big thing. The state of our emotions. The state of our emotions. You've got some people outraged the election was stolen. You've got other people dancing in the street. The evil Trump is gone. You've got other people crushed because they believe God spoke Trump would be reelected. You've got the whole range of emotions. And what was really important for me, because I didn't know which way it's going to turn. Hey, to this moment, I don't know. You say, well, what about, has this election been stolen? I've had very solid, high-level, clear-thinking people with PhDs in their fields, people well-connected in the higher echelons of law in America, people high in the business world, either directly to me or through friends of mine, say, this thing is fraud and stolen. And others saying, that's the craziest thing. Everything's being analyzed. It's not possible. I don't know. God didn't tell me. Maybe he told you. He didn't tell me. He didn't tell me in advance who would win. His ways are infinitely higher than ours and infinitely ahead of ours. And often you've lived through it, have you not? What seems like the worst thing you ever went through turns out to be the best thing. The worst day of your life and putting you in the worst place of your life where everything seemed hopeless was when you met a certain person that became the most important person in your life, or where you learned a certain lesson. So God is so far ahead of us. You talk about playing 4D chess. How about 40 million D chess? On so many different levels, he knows what's best. I don't know what's best in terms of candidates and parties for America, because we may have to go down before we go up. We may have to have our eyes open to many different things. And I'll address the issue of idolatry, putting too much trust in a person or a party. I'll address that in a little while. But the big thing for me, I want to help you, and by the time you watch this or listen, you may be watching on America's Voice Saturday night on Dish TV or Pluto, You may be listening by podcast on one of the many outlets we have for our podcast a few days from now. And I don't know where things will even stand. The controversy may go on for weeks. We don't know. But I want to help you with your emotional attitude. I watched Kamala Harris speak, and I watched Joe Biden speak. I didn't watch with excitement. Wow, I am so excited for them. I didn't watch gritting my teeth. Oh, I can't believe they won this election. I watched the crowds dancing in the street. And, you know, let's just say, because I was a Trump voter, right? Let's just say that your team lost in sports, and now you see people, and you think it was stolen, and the refs messed up the game, and that's why your team lost. It wasn't even a legitimate loss, right? And there was dirty play along the way that took out one of your players. And now you see people supporting the team that won, and they're dancing and celebrating in the street. You can have the... I was in a state of worshiping God. God is so much bigger than this. If, in fact, the worst concerns are realized and there is a radical leftist agenda that gets pushed on the nation with dreadful consequences, if we continue to pray and cry out, God can even use that for good and perhaps bring about the awakening we desire that can then lead to the type of reformation of culture we want to see, which cannot specifically or exclusively come through a political party. It must come from grassroots level of hearts being changed, which then will work out in votes being changed and policies being changed and political establishments being changed. It could be that we have three parties in 5 years. It could be one of the major parties doesn't exist anymore. Who in the world knows? But God is God, friends. Psalm 2, he who sits in the heavens laughs. And this is as the rulers of the earth want to revolt. So I don't care where the revolt comes from, humanity, Republican, Democrat, China, Russia. God is God, and he sits enthroned. And I was also able to remind myself, and I hope you can do this if you voted, if you're on the other side of this, you're on the left, and you're looking at Donald Trump, this is for me looking at Biden Harris. They're just human beings. They're all human beings who need Jesus. I don't know the state of any of them in terms of I have personal access into their souls, but assuming they really need to know the Lord, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, people said, well, he's a baby Christian. Well, listen, they really need to know the Lord deeply. Can we agree on that? And Jesus died for them. They're just people. They're just people. They're not demons. They're just people. So let us be more people of the Spirit. And then from there, we can stand for righteousness. Then from there, we can oppose evil. From there, our battle is so much bigger than a political battle. So let's get our heart and our emotions in the right place. God is still on the throne. He's not like, oh, no. Oh, God's on the throne. It's bigger. It's bigger.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to give you another phone number to use. This is not to call in live, but this is to share your mind. If you want to give me a piece of your mind, if you think I'm crazy and off the wall, if you have a testimony of how our ministry or work has been life transforming for you, this number to call, it's not a number to call and leave questions. We won't be responding to questions. But if you want to make a statement, you just want to sound off. Again, you want to differ with me on something, call me out on something, give it positive word, testimony. Here's the number to call, 1-800-618-8480. 1-800-618-8480. Do your best to keep your message to 2 minutes or less. And we'll pull some of these. We'll play them on the air. Those that are worthy, we'll play them on the air, and our team will listen to every one of these comments that comes in. All right. What about the spiritual side of this in terms of prophecies? Now, for many, this is a weird thing. Like, what do you mean prophecies? Whether they're prophets today? They're not prophets today like in the Bible, Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, writing scripture. You know, nobody is writing the book of Revelation today, right? But God continues to speak to his people and through his people. And basically to a person, every known charismatic prophet, anyone that has a public voice that we've heard of or known of, we did not know a single one prophesying a Joe Biden victory, Not a single one. I've asked people, did you know any of them? Have you heard a single prophet prophesying a Joe Biden victory? Answer, no. Everyone said Trump will have a second term. Many of them very publicly. Some said, if we pray, he will be reelected. Well, I think we all agree there has been massive prayer. There's massive prayer to this moment still going on, crying out for God's will to be done. Much repentance in the church, looking at our sin and our fault and our guilt, and then praying, God, have your way, your will be done. I never pray for candidate. I never, ever pray for a specific candidate to be elected. I vote my conscience. That's my part. It's God's part to put in the person that he believes is best. So I pray, God, your will be done. Bring it to pass, and then I vote my conscience. Let him do his part. We do our part. How do we explain this? Now, some would say, well, there is no gift of prophecy today. There are no prophets today. That's easy. They're off. But why all of them off in the same way? Or will it be that it turns out that they'll be proven right? Now, you say, well, could it be that there's a second term, but that'll be 2024? Well, if that is the case, that would indicate that prophetic language is not meant to be taken like a news report. Just like if you read the Old Testament prophets, that's not just like a news report. In other words, there's a lot of ambiguity in it, and sometimes you only see the reality of it when it comes to pass, in which case you can't be basing all kinds of decisions based on prophecy as if it's a newscast. Now, I've got a ton to say about prophetic ministry today as someone who fully believes in it, someone who supports it and endorses it, someone who at times is used in certain prophetic ways. Now, I don't get dreams and visions, but there have been things God's burdened me to write about, speak about years before they became mainstream and said, look, this is coming. I know it. All right? And many of you have had that sense. Even if you don't believe in prophetic ministry today, you've had the sense from the Lord about things before they happen. Many of you have. All right? But we are going to have to do serious evaluation. Either there was mass error or these people really heard the Lord, and it seemed impossible. So here, I'll give you one example. And this is not someone known, say, as a prophet in the charismatic movement, but someone who is often given predictions. And I'm not playing this to mock. I'm simply putting information out. Let's listen to what Pat Robertson said shortly before the elections.
Well, here goes. I want to share with you. I was praying on Sunday saying, God, please tell me how it's going to happen, and I hope I've got the word. But first of all, I want to say without question, Trump is going to win the election. That doesn't mean you sit home and don't vote. That means you get out and do everything you can to work. But he's going to win. That's, I think, a given. But after he is sworn in and his vice president is Mike Pence, then trouble is going to happen. He's going to be challenged by the Chinese, as you couldn't believe. He'll be faced probably with some kind of a war. The North Koreans are going to have nuclear weapons. They're going to threaten us. The Russians are going to do everything they can. The Turks have got their things going. And after Trump is sworn in, we're going to see civic disobedience in our America that will just be mind-boggling. The country will be torn apart. But you talk about Trump derangement syndrome, it's going to be horrible. Because already, without anything happening, we've got trouble in the streets. But there will be at least two attempts on the president's life. And it's going to be very difficult. So I would just urge you, you should pray for him.
Now, that still may happen. You can only imagine what would happen if the Supreme Court overturns the election results and says that Trump actually won. Now, I'm going to break down the issues of how could it be that he actually won, or is this just another conspiracy theory? And again, read my lips. Watch. I don't know exactly what happened. Was this a fairly contested election or not? I don't know. I wasn't there at every polling place. Neither were you. Pray with me that the truth will come to light. And because God did not speak to me in advance about who would be president, I can say we will see if these words were accurate in the days ahead. All right? It's either accurate or not. Either accurate or not, right? Well, what did Hank Kuhneman say? He's known as the charismatic prophet and very, very clearly believes that God did speak that Trump would be elected, reelected, And now it seems that it may not have happened, and many say it's a done deal. Of course, it didn't happen. Pastor Robert Jeffress, one of the strongest evangelical Trump supporters on the planet, made a public statement congratulating Joe Biden, saying, "We're praying for your success. Just as we pray for every president, we're praying for your success." So others saying it's over. Others saying it's long from over. We're going to break that down a little later in the broadcast. But Hank Kuhneman, just a few days ago, gave a very public message about what we can expect. This is what he said.
So the enemy looks like he has the upper hand, but God likes a drama. He likes a good show. He likes a good fight. And it's like in the days with the prophets of Baal, where it looked like they had the upper hand. But yet God came and answered by fire and wiped them all out, every single one of their lives, and God restored order. This is what's going to happen over the next 70 days. Now you say, "Pastor Hank, are you saying it's going to go that long?" All I'm saying is, no matter the outcome, or no matter the amount of time for God to move his hand, the outcome does not change. God said, again, in our church service on Sunday, he said, "If I delivered Daniel, if I delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if I delivered a nation, Israel, that was standing upon the shores of the Red Sea," think about it, they just went through a plague. We just went through a plague. They were shut in. We had a shut in. They were shut in on the shores. They had a very arrogant enemy saying that they now had Israel in their grip. That's what Biden and the left is saying. "Oh, we've got this nation. We've got the presidency." It looked hopeless. In fact, fear gripped the nation. Some of you that are watching, you're afraid. And I understand. But here's the thing. You've got to loose that from your soul. Because Moses cried out to God in that moment in the book of Exodus. And God said, "Excuse me, why are you crying out, or why are you shrieking out to me? Lift up your rod of authority and go forward. I haven't changed my mind." We have to do the same. We have to watch what we're speaking out of our mouth. We got to watch what we're typing on the keyboard and posting on social media. We got to watch who we're calling and what we're discussing. Are we coming into agreement with the spirit of lies? Are we coming into agreement with Jezebel's prophets? Or are we going to listen to God and agree with him?
All right. Let me say this. We shall see very soon what's what. We shall see. Number one, if you are convinced that God showed you that Donald Trump is supposed to be our next president and will be, then hold on to that and say, "God, bring about your will." Okay? But please hear me. Do not let anyone put something on you where the outcome of this election is now dependent on your faith. And if you don't believe enough, and if you don't ask any questions, then it's going to happen. But if you question, or then it won't happen. Rubbish. I reject that. You say, "But 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, believe the prophets and you'll succeed." Number one, that's an Old Testament principle. We are not led by prophets in the New Testament. And I wholeheartedly embrace prophetic ministry for the New Testament. Wholeheartedly. We are not led by prophets in the New Testament. Prophets are just part of leadership and part of a larger body. And all of us can hear the Spirit for ourselves. All of us can have the witness of the Spirit in our own lives. We don't need someone else to tell us what we're supposed to believe. You say, "Yeah, but they all feel the same way." Well, they didn't all get things right at COVID, okay? There were no major voices in advance telling us COVID was coming, and then some said it was going to dissipate a certain time, and it didn't. So we're talking about fallible human beings. We prophesy in part. Well, look, if you sit down with some of these guys, they'll give you thousands of mind-blowing examples of God giving them words and things happening. It's amazing, and it's God-glorifying. And some of these people, I don't know, Hank, but some I know personally as Jesus-loving, God-fearing people. Some are not even political. Some don't even like Trump at all right? So we shall see. I hope the words come to pass because I voted for Trump. But if not, Trump's not the savior and Biden's not the Antichrist. Come on. And Biden's not the savior and Trump's not the Antichrist. We've got to rise higher here. And look, you're going to use an Old Testament text, then use an Old Testament test, right? The Old Testament text, believe the prophets, you'll succeed. The Old Testament test, if what they say doesn't come to pass, they're not true prophets, right? They couldn't say, "Well, the people didn't believe us enough." No, that doesn't work. Sorry. And God's bigger than this. You know how much prayer is taking place around the world now for this election in America? If God has ordained Trump to be president, it's going to happen. If not, it ain't. It's that simple.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If the Holy Spirit laid on my heart, Donald Trump is to be the next president, the election has been stolen, pray for fraud to be exposed and for him to be reelected, that's exactly what I pray. But the Holy Spirit did not reveal that to me. Oh, I give you many reasons why I prefer a Trump presidency to a Biden presidency, and then downsides of the Trump presidency, but why I vote for him. But what I do know is I can pray biblically based prayers. God, shine your light. God, expose darkness, expose corruption, expose error, and may the man who has been duly elected by the American people be our next president. Right? Who couldn't pray that? Everyone that knows God and has faith should be able to pray that prayer. It is a truth-based, kingdom-based prayer. So I will contend for God's outcome. Absolutely. I'll contend for it spiritually, but let him interpret what that is. And if you have a specific word to contend differently, wonderful. You do it. You do it. But don't tell me what I should pray and believe, because God didn't lay that on my heart. And I'm not telling you what to pray and believe. I'm saying let us pray nonpartisan prayers. Now, another side to the story. Another side to the story. Again, my vote was for Trump, although I understand the argument against him. My hope is that the prophetic words prove true, although I have issue with the way some of them are being presented. Okay? Just so you know where I'm coming from in terms of my personal attitude. But a couple months ago, I get a note from a dear friend, lifelong friend, Ron Cantor. Met him when I was in my late 20s, and he was in his late teens. He came as a student to our ministry school, and he's a dear brother, co-worker, friend for many, many years now. Doesn't claim to be prophetic. He's not known as a prophet in any of the circles where he travels, okay? He sends this to me, and this is September 6th. Now, he's just posted this. We talked about it, and he posted it yesterday, Messiah's Mandate. What I felt, so he's being very humble about this, God told me about the election in September. Now, here's the overview. In early September, I had an unexpected experience whereby I sensed the Spirit of God clearly telling me that Joe Biden would win the election. I wasn't praying or asking God who would win. It was completely unexpected. I felt, he said, it was because of the church's idolization of President Trump. I sensed him saying later that we have mingled political zeal with the gospel, which has led to an unholy concoction, a message about issues lacking focus on the call to salvation, the central message of the New Testament. This mixture has led to a plethora of what appears to be, as of now, false prophecies regarding the election. I immediately shared with Dr. Michael Brown, a trusted friend and mentor. I also shared this before the election with around 20 people, mostly leaders whom I respect, including Dr. Mark Chirona and Ward Simpson, as well as my own leadership team to whom I'm submitted. I had no sense from the Lord to share it publicly before the election. I could not see any value in that and saw that it could be injurious. And even after the election, it seemed presumptuous, as many were passionately praying for President Trump to be vindicated and confirmed for 4 more years. I counseled with other leaders who agreed it would be wise to wait. I felt the Lord strongly visit me again early on election day as I was questioning him on the issue, and he confirmed to me that indeed Biden would win. It was with crystal clarity such as I've rarely experienced. And he goes on from there. Okay, now, he's posted and said, hey, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Said if I need correction, this again, he just said, this is what I sensed. I got the almost identical word from another pastor, solid pastor who really understand the dangers of the radical left, strong repentance preacher, Patrick Conley. And he reaches out to me privately last week and says, I got that. What do I do with this? Dr. Brown, what do I do with this? I've got this sense that God raised up Trump. He was a tool for 4 years, but the church idolized him. He said, we don't worship him. My friend, we're guilty of idolatry. We've put so much trust in a man. I'm a Trump voter, okay? I'm a Trump supporter. We have put so much trust in a man, and God is jealous for his glory alone and that we look to him. We have looked to a man in ways that can be dangerous. He had almost the identical word to what Ron sent me, almost identical. And none of these guys would ever vote for Biden or Democrats. They wouldn't even think of doing it, okay? Just to tell you where they're coming from in terms of their own ideologies. And yet they sense this. And what I feel is even if Trump does end up winning, if that is the case and they were wrong, they're right about the other part. They're absolutely right about the idolization of a man. It's dangerous. I've warned about it for years. And people say, he's not our savior. How can you say it? And then they'll say, but you're speaking against God's anointed. We need to pray for Trump to save the nation. No, Donald Trump's not going to save the nation. Donald Trump needs saving, okay? Jesus is the savior we look to. And boy, he could use Trump mightily, or he could use someone else mightily. Absolutely. And elections have consequences. Absolutely. Let's get our priorities straight. If you agree with me that he's not our savior, then you shouldn't be so sensitive when I say it. If everyone on internet, every human being on the planet, post it 1,000 times, Michael Brown is not our savior. Oh, make it specifically me. Dr. Michael Lewis Brown, Messianic Jew, is not our savior. I'd say keep printing it. Print it 1,000,000,000,000 times. Print it 1,000,000,000,000,000 times. Why do we get so touchy when I say Trump is not our savior? And why, if some of your emotions are completely collapsed in the gutter, just like it's utterly hopeless and it's over, if you weren't looking at him in the wrong way? I'm trying to help here. I'm trying to help us be the church in the midst of this. These are major issues, friends. Please hear me. All right, so I want to go through this quickly, then I want to get to a few calls. Either Donald Trump has set up his followers to believe anything he says, even completely contrary to reality, or this election has been stolen. All right, now, remember Donald Trump's famous comment where he said that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue, right, broad daylight, and he wouldn't lose any followers? There's a lot of truth to that. Why? Why that level of devotion? Now, here's his official statement. We all know why Joe Biden is rushing to falsely pose as the winner and why his media allies are trying so hard to help him. They don't want the truth to be exposed. The simple fact is this election is far from over. Joe Biden has not been certified as the winner of any states, let alone any of the highly contested states, headed for mandatory recounts. And he goes on, beginning Monday, our campaign will start prosecuting our case in court to ensure election laws are fully upheld and the rightful winner is seated. He's been calling out fake news for years now. Since early 2017, he's been calling out fake news. And there has been a ton of fake news. At the same time, it's created an environment where you don't trust anybody. And even true news gets rejected as fake news if we don't like it. So it's created a trust crisis. The attacks on him and his method, it has just been a perfect storm, a crisis of trust. So he's began saying months ago, the only way I can lose this election is by fraud. He's begun saying that. Now, did he see it coming? Did he recognize that with COVID and potential mail-in ballots, there's a real danger? Or was he setting people up for deception? It's one or the other, right? It's one or the other. Okay, so listen to what he says. Listen to this speech right when he voted just a few days back before the elections.
It was a beautiful thing because there's no way you can cheat. I mean, that, then they said, here, do this, and here, sir, you can, you know, they give you a booth, you sit down, you do what you have to do. You get up, they fold it, they put it in, then you put it in the machine yourself. They don't want to touch it. It was so professional. There's no way you can cheat. With these ballots, who's sending them? Who's receiving them? Who's bringing them back? Who's signing them? It's ridiculous. It's the only way we can be, it's the only way we can lose, in my opinion, is massive fraud. And that's what's happening, because all over the country, you're seeing it. Thousands and thousands of ballots. How about the military ballots that were thrown into a garbage can with the name Trump on it?
Yeah. Now, again, you hear all these anecdotes. Is it real or not? And then here, look at this tweet. Look at this Donald Trump tweet from over the weekend, all in caps. I won this election by a lot. And look at this, over 1 million likes. And it's the top 20 most liked, shared tweets of all time. You know, the top 20, maybe number 20 is 2.5 million. I checked on that just before coming on. But this over a million likes. I was watching it, just the numbers pouring in. I think he got 1 million in like 12 hours. That's how many people believe he won the election by a lot. Has he set people up for mass deception? And whatever he says, they're going to follow. It's a real dangerous possibility that we have to be on guard for. Or conversely, is he exactly right? And is this the greatest fraud in modern history in terms of something perpetrated on our nation on this scale? So, again, I don't know the facts. I do not have inside information, okay? I mean, factual, undeniable. But I get a call from someone very close to a lot of what's going on, just spoke with two PhDs in statistics. In other words, their PhD is in statistics. So they will analyze foreign elections. You look for trends and stats and things to see what's possible, what's not possible, all right? And according to them, it is impossible that Joe Biden won this election, statistically. They say when you do the proper analysis and who could vote and what and numbers, and it's not possible that he won. These are two PhDs in statistics. If that's the case, it will come to light. If it's that big, if the fraud was perpetrated on that big a level, it has to come to light. There've got to be too many loose ends. So you're hearing from a whistleblower here, I saw this happen, I saw that happen. Are they telling the truth? I don't know. Could it affect the whole election if you had thousands of cases like that? Could be. I don't know, but I know God. I am absolutely confident that God will bring about what is best and that truth will triumph because people are praying and crying out day and night and day and night. And many believe in the election was stolen. If that's the case, let the light shine. Let it all come to the surface. And that's my confidence that come January or whenever we have someone inaugurated, it's going to be exactly what God determined as the best outcome in answer to our prayer. Now, Victor David Hansen, respected professor, great thinker. There's a real intellectual who's got a grasp from the classics to what's happening today. He said there was massive voter fraud. I believe that. But nonetheless, this shouldn't even have been close. The margins in places like Michigan or Wisconsin, even Minnesota or Pennsylvania, given what he's done for the country. But who did Trump have in his corner? Maybe talk radio, maybe Breitbart, maybe half the Fox team, maybe not. Hoover Institution was not for him. National Review was against him. These are, you know, conservative wings. Most of the mainstream Republican establishment was against him. Big tech was against him. Wall Street was against him. Big money, the universities, professional sports, entertainment, everybody was against him. Yet he overcame all that almost. And he says, in a fair and just world, people have probably found a way to show support. But now the way these elections are run, his concern is it's the end of free and fair elections. Others have said that. And when I put up a tweet about that and asked the question, many said, yeah, Joe Biden presidency will be the end of free and fair elections, meaning that dishonest forces will not have the way and that a socialist takeover will have its way. And that, yeah, this is the majority of people in terms of those polled, the largest number, said this is the end of free and fair elections in America. Hope that's not true.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My son-in-law, Ryan, said, have you ever gone to vote.org to check your vote? No, never thought of doing that. He said, check. He said, because he went to look for his, and his activity this election didn't show up in North Carolina. We both live there. And I went to check. Mine didn't show up. Now, you say, well, maybe they just haven't done the official accounting, and because North Carolina won't finish in November 12th is when it finishes, and what today is the, so I'm speaking to you, November 9th. But he said, no, my sister's came through, and she's also in North Carolina. So here's my voting record, all right, in terms of my activity. I guess I skipped some of the midterms, but so the, right, general, primary, general, so 2004, 8, 10, 12, 12, 14, 16, 16. So the double ones, that's both general and primary. The counties where I voted and so on. But nothing for 2020. Then I checked for Nancy. Nothing for 2020. So is this part of this conspiracy? Or is this, it'll work itself out? I'm assuming it just work itself out another few days. But that was weird. That was weird. All right. I still got a bunch more things to talk with you about. And everything we talked about today, we're going to be unpacking in the days ahead. But let's go to the phones. George in Toledo, Ohio. Thanks for holding. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Yeah, thanks so much. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Great. Yeah, I'm a pastor in Toledo, Ohio. And what I've noticed is I'm a Christian conservative, but anytime I've called, you know, raised any concerns with Trump's behavior, it's always met with instant and extreme punishment from sometimes even some of my closest friends. My question is did the church, predominantly at large, should the church ignore Jesus's warning to watch out for the yeast of Herod? Is the church experiencing kind of a full infection with the spirit of Herod and the consequences of that infection?
Yeah, it was very interesting to bring up the yeast of Herod, because my focus over the years has been what Jesus refers to, the yeast of Pharisees. So for any of us representing hypocritical religion, Jews, Christians, anybody, but the yeast of hypocritical religion and having an outward form and living differently. Yeast of Herod, that's an interesting thing to pursue, exactly what that means. But let's be very specific, sir. I have no question whatsoever that the Church of America has become overly politicized. We should absolutely be involved in politics as salt and light. We should absolutely cast our votes. Some should run for office if called to do so. We should call on our elected officials to do what's right. We should not abdicate. If we completely abdicate, then it'll just be worldly, ungodly people or those with different ideologies that take over. And before we know it, we won't even be able to express our ideologies. In fact, Kai, grab the clip from Keith Olbermann. There are people on the left who feel exactly like Keith Olbermann. And if we, for whom we pray, and if we simply abdicate our responsibility, this is what we can expect. Listen to what he had to say in October.
Trump can be and must be expunged. The hate he has triggered, the Pandora's box he has opened, they will not be so easily destroyed. So let us brace ourselves. The task is twofold. The terrorist Trump must be defeated, must be destroyed, must be devoured at the ballot box. And then he and his enablers and his supporters and his collaborators and the Mike Lees and the William Barrs and the Sean Hannitys and the Mike Pences and the Rudy Giulianis and the Kyle Rittenhouses and the Amy Coney Barretts must be prosecuted and convicted and removed from our society while we try to rebuild it. And to rebuild the world Trump has nearly destroyed by turning it over to a virus.
Whoa. Whoa. Terrorist Trump. And then in the same sentence, Sean Hannity and Mike Pence and Amy Coney Barrett should be prosecuted and removed, imprisoned, killed, concentration camps. How so? So, George, I play that clip to say I understand the dangers of the radical left. I've been warning about some of this stuff for years and years and years. I absolutely see what has happened through the church abdicating responsibility in the area of justice and marriage and family and social life and sexuality and so many other areas where we've let others lead the way. So there's this massive void. I understand why it's easy for us to swing towards a political party or political leader that's going to fight for these things, and how crucial is abortion in God's sight, and other issues, our essential freedoms, standing with Israel, standing against international terror, and some of the other things that are important in God's sight. But I have no question, George, that we have become politicized, that to a certain level we have become appendages of the political party that we support, that we have put too much trust in a person, and that we have become known more for our political views than for our spiritual views. So what I've said over and again, I voted for Trump, I support Trump, all right? But I just tell you that if you want to know, I'll tell you that, right? People have asked me, so I've told them for a few years now. But I am shouting from the rooftops, screaming from the rooftops, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my King. God rules and reigns. We need to repent and get right with God. So, yeah, I have this minor, tiny message, which I talk about a lot because I'm a talk show host and write op-ed pieces. But your average local pastor, your average local believer, rather than wearing the MAGA hat, wear a hat that draws attention to Jesus. I'm not saying it's sinful to wear the MAGA hat. What I'm saying is some of us are much more bold with our political views, with who we vote for, where we stand, which party, and very meek about our spiritual views and our righteousness views. So let us be known first and foremost to followers of Jesus, who then get involved in the political system to call the political system to do what's right and call political leaders to do what's right. And we stand behind political leaders who do what's right. At the same time, we don't apologize for sin. We don't minimize it. And I'll say this, just my opinion, and thank you for the call, sir. My opinion. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord. My opinion. I'm hoping there's some shocking reversal, only if, in fact, the election was stolen. I'm hoping that gets exposed, okay? And if not, Joe Biden will be my president. I'll pray for him. And when he does good, I'll say wonderful. And when I differ with him, I'll make it known. And I'll work for what's right, okay? And one day the names of Trump and Biden and everybody else will be long forgotten, okay? So I'm looking at everything in that light. But if Trump does lose, in my view, my opinion, there would be two reasons. One, his own fault, he just wouldn't change. No matter how many times he was told, you got to change. Yeah, be strong, be tough, be a fighter, but don't be asinine. Don't be juvenile. Don't be cruel. Don't be stupid. You can be strong without throwing, making it personal. You can lead decisively and fight back against evil and expose it, expose the fake, expose the fraud without doing it in some juvenile, petty way. You can do that. So he just alienated a lot of people. I know people that said I couldn't vote for either candidate. I despise the policies of the Democrats, but I think Trump is just so damaging by who he makes us into as our leader that I couldn't vote for either. I believe if Donald Trump had listened to the counsel he had been given over the years and had humbled himself and changed so as not to be such an obnoxious, petty person and lying, etc., that he could have won with a landslide. Now, I'm still hoping that he gets a second chance at it, but let me tell you, all the more do we need to pray for those qualities in his life. That would be the one side. That's the natural perspective. The other perspective is the idolatry of the church, that those of us, the 81% of white evangelicals who voted for him, and other conservative Christians, Christian conservatives, black, Hispanic, Asian, wherever backgrounds you came from that voted for him, that many of us have put our trust in a man. And again, if you didn't, you wouldn't get so mad at me for saying it. You wouldn't get so reactionary to me for saying that. And again, I'm in the middle of this. I know the responses I get. I know the people telling me, God raised him up. How dare you speak against the anointed? I'm not speaking against the anointed. The anointed one sits on the throne. That's Jesus, the Son of God. That's where I'm going to be especially careful. And our elected officials I will honor and respect. Speak the truth. And I'm not trying to play both ends against the middle and just get hated from all sides. I'm trying to honor God in the midst of this. But here, I'll try to get to some more calls tomorrow. I apologize for not getting to more of you. Obviously, just a lot to unpack, talk about. We're going to talk more about prophetic ministry later in the week. But here, read through Psalm 2. Read through Psalm 2. God will have the last laugh, friend. God will have the last laugh. He is so far ahead of these elections and so far ahead of America and the world. He's going to have the last laugh, all right? And if you're frustrated by this evil triumphing, this injustice and wrong, and read through Psalm 37. I've been just reading through some Psalms in Hebrew late at night before going to sleep, and it just so happened, I guess what night before last, it was Psalm 37. I said, that's perfect. If you haven't read it through, read it through. And here, check out this headline. We don't have time to get into it, but the fastest growing church in the world today, you know what it is? Iran. Fastest growing church, despite no buildings, mostly led by women in small groups. What? What? In the midst of Islam in Iran? Yeah. God's bigger. God's bigger than all of this, friends. So we're going to work hard. We're going to oppose what's wrong. We're going to stand for what's right. We're going to believe. We're going to be people of faith. But we will not get into panic mode. Jesus is Lord.